This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us.
Welcome to another episode of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I'm a nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I work every day with Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And I'm here to answer your questions. You can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Again, email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. I have got an email from Marie. Marie says, I hope you can help me. My daughter is 27. She's gluten intolerant, and therefore she has no wheat at all. She also developed a dairy allergy, a shellfish allergy, and a soy allergy. Her problem is she is quite thin, only eats healthy, rarely has meat, has only almond milk. I tell you this because her problem is although she exercises daily and is very thin, she is very unhappy because her arms, although thin, are still flabby. Marie says with a question mark, although her arms are thin, are still flabby? Help! Why is this? I am curious as her mom, I hate to see her work so hard and still be disappointed in her outcome. She does all types of exercise, Zumba, yoga, spin classes, and my daughter was a swimmer all through high school and college! Thank you for your help in this matter. She asks me why. I have no answers. Sincerely, a concerned mom. Marie, I thank you very, very much for your question. Okay, so your daughter is 27. She has a history of being athletic, being a swimmer in high school and college. I would have very many questions, and these are what would come up if I was having a consult with your daughter. First of all, besides taking a height and weight, according to your email, you describe her as quite thin and only eats healthy. It could be tough to do when you've got so many intolerances because in addition to having to avoid gluten, she's also developed a dairy, shellfish, and soy allergy. And I wonder what else may be going on in your daughter's gut that's causing these additional allergies, because so often when we're able to get rid of the prime suspect, primarily gluten and dairy, so many of the other food allergies tend to diminish or even go away. So first of all, I wonder if she is truly able to avoid gluten or she's getting it in places where she would never suspect. And in addition, if she is quite thin and she rarely has meat and only eats healthy, when I hear anybody described as only eats healthy, I wonder if they're getting sufficient calories. Because if your daughter is indeed underweight, which is what I'm suspecting simply from your email, and of course I could be wrong, because everybody's description of something else is completely subjective, isn't it? Even a matter of thinness or fatness or anything like that. I wonder if she's getting sufficient calories, and I would like the definition of only eats healthy. What does that mean? Because to so many people, It means a lack of fat. And that could be a problem because of the three macronutrients that we ingest in all of our foods, which are fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, fat is an essential macronutrient. So I'm a little bit concerned there. If she's not getting enough calories, as a nutritionist, I can almost deduce, and you know, I'm kind of winging this because this is an email and your daughter is not my patient. I would wonder if she has diminishment in her muscle, because if she's not getting sufficient calories, which is what I suspect, I would think that she's not getting sufficient protein. Now, especially because she rarely has meat, and I don't know if you include in the meat category fish. She's allergic to shellfish, so maybe she's avoiding all fish. We don't know. If she's avoiding meat, do you only mean red meat? Or is she also avoiding poultry? Is she also avoiding eggs? Are eggs troublesome? Because eggs can also be an allergy for many people. It is one of the top 8 food allergens. If she's not getting ample protein, then I know she's not getting enough of the branched chain amino acids, which are responsible for helping to repair our muscle. The branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, are critical in the redevelopment of muscle, especially after exercise, especially after working out. But getting enough BCAAs, branched chain amino acids, are critical in our retaining our muscle mass as we get older. I know your daughter is 27, but she's thin and she's likely overweight, and she's probably not getting enough protein calories, let alone the branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. So what you're seeing is she has these thin arms, but they're still flabby. Help, you exclaim. We could be thin and over fat. It's a fact. If she's not getting ample protein, then she's not able to support the exercise she's doing, the Zumba, the yoga, all of that. I mean, when we're getting into the yoga, asanas, the yoga poses of downward facing dog and chaturanga and upward facing dog, these are variations on a push-up, almost. And when we're not getting sufficient protein to support the rebuilding of those tiny, tiny micro tears that we cause in our muscle with our exercise, with our strength training, then she's not going to build that definition, the tone that you're looking for in her arms, even though they're very thin, because they're still looking flabby, right? So that definition, that tone, is not really going to be apparent if you're not getting sufficient protein. Now, oftentimes, what I recommend for many clients is taking whey protein, but since your daughter has a dairy allergy, whey protein may not be indicated at all. For a small minority of people who have a dairy allergy, they have no trouble with whey. However, it's more the casein than the whey, but yet others, whey is a problem, and it's okay to stay away. You can get some protein from pea and rice protein, but it's not going to be the same as what you're getting in an omelet or a nice piece of chicken or fish or turkey or a leg of lamb or a burger or a steak or loin of pork or a pork chop for that matter. You're not going to be getting the sufficient amino acids, those branched chain amino acids, to support healthy muscle development. Now, another thing is when we're underweight or very thin, and especially around the ages of 20s and 30s, it's going forward, there may be some weight gain as hormones change and things of that nature. However, when we're very thin, it doesn't really support our bone health either. And that's why after a certain age, say after 50 or 60, we don't like to see much weight loss unless a person is apparently overweight. But let me not stray away from the topic here. The fact that she's very thin is already going to be a risk factor for diminished bone health, especially after she ages past age 30 or 35. The fact that she's kind of her food sources have been diminished because of these developed allergies, I would really urge you to have your daughter see a qualified nutritionist to see what other issues are going on in her gut that are causing these other allergies to happen, because this is causing more response from immune system, more inflammation in the body, so forth and so on. I hate to see people who, because they've been diagnosed with an allergy or an intolerance, and they go and they avoid those foods, they eliminate those foods, as they should rightfully do, many individuals will back themselves into a corner called eating disorder, if I may, because now suddenly they're left with less and less food to eat because of a claim of reacting or not feeling well after eating the food. But it could have to do with other issues going on in the gut that need to be explored, and not simply a blaming of the cause of that person's symptoms on the food they're eating. Okay. So I would explore all of those things. I would explore, because your daughter is very thin, has there been any history of eating disorder? We have to ask that question if we're doing our due diligence in our intake. We always have to ask that question and to assess if the person has some kind of a food phobia. You know, the latest eating disorder, it's not binge eating disorder, which you may think that is pretty close. It's only happened within the last few years that binge eating disorder has been a diagnosis. But now there's something called, and you've heard of anorexia nervosa, which is restricted eating and being very underweight and fear of gaining weight. But now we have orthorexia. Orthorexia meaning, you know, a fear of not eating correctly all the time. Of, quote, let's say it a different way, not eating healthy all the time, 100% of the time. You know, holding yourself to an even higher standard, as to be almost punishing, as to not having a cheat this past Thanksgiving or coming up at Christmas or Hanukkah or New Year's or any of the other holidays, or even your birthday or anniversary where you might have a cheat. Cheating is good for the soul from time to time. But people who have orthorexia, this eating disorder of chronically and constantly only eating correctly, and you're not happy unless you do so all the time, but guess what? It's a double-edged sword, because you're unhappy anyway because you've backed yourself into a corner of only eating healthfully all the time. Okay, enough of that soapbox for the eating disorders. For your daughter, Marie, for your daughter to be able to gain some weight, if she's not taking in enough calories, which is first suspect, I would say add in a smoothie. And if she's not going to tolerate whey protein, and I say whey first because of those lovely branched-chain amino acids, which may help her with the tone of her arms, as long as she's getting sufficient other protein and doing exercises correctly, she could take in other sources of protein. Pea and rice protein may be helpful. They're not going to contain all of the amino acids that her body requires, but it is still a help. Anyway, taking in a smoothie may provide additional calories. That smoothie can avoid some type of a powdered protein, and that can also include in the recipe, she's already using almond milk. The addition of almond milk is probably a good idea. Add to that the scoop or two of a powdered protein source. Add to that now for calories, a tablespoon or two of nut butters. It could be almond butter, macadamia nut butter, cashew butter, or some other kind of nut. Add to that, in addition, maybe a tablespoon or two of coconut oil. That adds additional calories. We're talking now of maybe a 400 to 600 calorie smoothie, which can add some calories to your daughter's daily diet and maybe fill out that very thin frame that you're describing to me with healthy food. So these would be places to start. Thank you, Marie, very much for your question. And again, I invite you to email me with questions to radioprogram@aol.com. Speaking of coconut oil, there are lots of benefits. There is now a new study that was conducted at the postgraduate program in cardiology at the School of Medicine, Universidad Federal do Rio de Janeiro. They evaluated the health benefits of extra virgin coconut oil. Now, this study focused on how coconut oil affects cholesterol, especially HDL cholesterol, and other measurements such as waist circumference, body weight, and size. The participants, most of them were male, over 60% were male, with ages ranging from 54 to 70 years. About 95% of it, a percent of the subjects had blood lipid profiles indicating high cholesterol, and they were taking standard cholesterol-lowering drugs. Now, for the first 3 months, about 136 participants were put on a standard diet, but for the third month and onward, the 116 who completed this first phase were placed into two intervention groups. The first group contained 22 participants who remained on the diet, and the remaining 92, the majority, were put on the diet and given the intervention, which was 13 milliliters of extra virgin coconut oil daily. That's equivalent to a tablespoon of extra virgin coconut oil a day. And the results at the end of 3 months, showed that the group of participants who took the coconut oil saw a decrease in all six bodily parameters measured, including weight. They showed a reduction of 0.6 kilos, a body mass reduction of 0.2 kilos. That's wonderful. A waist circumference reduction of about 2.1 centimeters, systolic blood pressure reduction of 3.3 points. Your systolic blood pressure is the top number. They also saw a diastolic blood pressure reduction of 3.5 points. That's the bottom number of your blood pressure. These participants also saw a 3.1 to a 7.4 increase in HDL cholesterol, which is great. You want a higher HDL. HDL is the garbage truck that carries out the so-called bad cholesterol. So, the study showed that this diet rich in just an additional tablespoon of extra virgin coconut oil a day seemed to favor the reduction of waist circumference, the increase of HDL concentrations, which raises prevention for risk factors of heart disease. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Another point to report about cancer and sugar. For those of you who know me, you've heard me say over and over how much cancer cells love sugar, including our blood sugar. Well, there was an article, there was a headline in Science Daily that says, "Cancer cells poised for growth when opportunity knocks." And researchers have identified a mechanism that allows cancer cells to grow, to respond and grow rapidly when levels of sugar in the blood rise, and that this may help to explain why people who develop conditions in which they have chronically high blood sugar in their blood, such as obesity, and also have an increased risk of developing certain types of cancer. All right. What we found, or what the scientists found, when we eat food, it's digested into smaller molecules such as glucose that pass into our bloodstream. As blood is pumped around the body, it delivers this glucose to the body's cells, which use it as a fuel to grow. For glucose to be absorbed efficiently, it teams up with a hormone called insulin, and insulin acts like a gatekeeper. It binds to the receptors of the cell surface triggering a gate or a channel to open and let the glucose in. Now, their study was done on fruit flies, and what the scientists found, that in the flies fed a high sugar diet, these normal cells became insulin resistant, but the tumor cells didn't. The tumor cells actually became more sensitive to insulin because they turned on a metabolic switch that triggered them to produce extra receptors for insulin. You know, I remember reading an observational study in the 1990s that there is an intimate association between insulin and cancer, and this may be why. If tumor cells are actually able to trigger a metabolic switch and cause them to produce more of these receptors for insulin, they are then able to use the insulin in their favor. With insulin binding to many more receptors than usual, then more glucose channels open up and tumor cells became a sink for the glucose that had nowhere else to go in an insulin-resistant body of the fly. So this is very, very interesting because now scientists may be able to stop cancer cells from thriving in an insulin-resistant environment by interfering with this metabolic switch that enables tumor cells to create more insulin receptors. I know that's a mouthful of science and jargon, but reverse this podcast and listen to it again. This is why cancer loves sugar, and it's not just about that high blood sugar. It's about the insulin, that lock and key, that gatekeeper that allows the glucose to be used more efficiently, whether by the cells of our body or tumor cells. And that is it for this edition of Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.